I've entitled the message for this evening, Looking at What Is Not Seen. Looking at what is not seen. Now, Paul says in verse 17, for our light affliction. Now he describes this affliction beginning in verse 7 of the same chapter. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, jars of clay, the treasure of the gospel, the treasure of the Holy Spirit, the treasure of Christ in you, the treasure of a new man, the treasure of Christ. We have this treasure in jars of clay, earthen vessels. And here's why: that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now here's this light affliction. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now these are the light afflictions he's speaking of. And you know, any affliction we have, it's light. You know why it's light? It's so temporary. It's just for a moment. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, you can deal with anything if it's short-lived, can't you? Pain, suffering, if it's just for a moment. Just a moment. And compared with eternity, it's not even that long. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. It's working for us. Who's the us? Well, Paul described it this way, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's who it's working for. Those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. And I love the way he says in verse 17, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now this is true of every believer without exception. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, so temporary, so transient, so quick, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And that's why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. It's working for your good. It's working together for your good. It's working for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whatever it is, it's God's will concerning you. Verse 18. While we look, not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. They will not last. Whatever it is you can see, it's temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, I love the way he says we look at things while we look not at things which are seen. Things that you can see with the physical eye. We look at those things which you cannot see with the physical eye. God. I love that song, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. God who covers himself with light as with a garment. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. I've never seen him, and I love him. Whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Spirit of God, you haven't seen him. The wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound thereof, and you can't not tell from whence it comes or whither it goes. You can't see. You see, faith is the evidence of things not seen. I can't see the Lamb's Book of Life. I can't see the role of God's elect. I can't see that. I don't have any access to it at all. Well, what is the evidence that your name is written in that book? One evidence. Faith in Christ. That's it. I can't see justification. I can't see that when God looks upon me, he sees someone who has never sinned. I can't see that. Well, what's the evidence that it's even true? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And let me remind you, faith is not believing you're saved. Faith is believing he's the Savior. Faith is believing he's the Son of God. Faith is believing he's God's Christ. Faith is believing he's the creator of the world. Faith is not what you believe about yourself. It's what you believe with regard to him. Faith is the evidence of being justified. I can't see that all my sins are washed away and redeemed. We sang that song just now, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But there's nothing I can see physically that tells me my sins are washed away. What is the evidence? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't see my new man, my holy nature, that nature given to me in the new birth that cannot sin. I can't see that. How do you know you have him? Because I believe the gospel. I believe on Christ. We can't physically see we have an interest in these things, but faith is the evidence of that which is not seen. Truly, we walk by faith and not by sight. I don't judge my standing before God by anything I can see anywhere. Not even looking at myself. I don't see my standing before God based on anything I see. We walk by faith and not by sight. The things that are seen, all of them, are temporal. The things we see in somebody else's body or our own body, they're temporal. They're transient. They're temporary. They will not last. All that we see will not last, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They never had a beginning. And they will never have an end. Now, anything that's temporal will not be of any value on Judgment Day. Let me repeat that. Anything that's temporal, anything that's not seen will be of no value on judgment day. Only that which is not seen, that which is eternal, will be of value on judgment day. Let me read you this scripture. You can turn to it if you want. Hebrews 12, verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, temporary. What would happen if God gave you a good shaking? You'd be shook up, wouldn't you? You'd fall apart. The only thing that remains is that which is not made, that which is eternal, that which never had a beginning, that which never had an end. Now, you and I are bound by space and time. We can't be two places at once, can we? God isn't in two places at once. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. You can't go anywhere where he's not. With us, we're tied up to yesterday. What happened yesterday that we regret or feel good about, or what's going on right now, and we don't have a clue as to what's going to happen tomorrow. We're bound up in this thing called time, but not God. He's not bound by space or time. There's no yesterday with him, and there's no tomorrow with him. Everything is in the eternal, absolute present. Somebody says, I just don't understand that. Well, I don't expect you do. I don't either. But we believe it. And this is what Paul says we're looking to. While we look not on things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, and the things that are not seen are eternal. Now, eternity means never having had a beginning and never having an ending. He calls himself the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The eternal God is thy refuge. When he identifies himself as I am that I am, that means he never was and he never will be. He's always in the eternal present. Thou shalt endure forever. Thou art the same. And thy years shall not fail. Now to the King, eternal. Well, all you can do is bow down before that, isn't it? Now to the King, eternal. Immortal, invisible, the only wise God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was, eternally, infinitely was, dwelling in his own isness. The same was, in the beginning with God. He's in the bosom of the Father eternally. What a place of nearness, in the bosom of the Father. In the beginning with God. He is eternally the only begotten Son. I'm just astounded thinking about this. He wasn't begotten when he was raised from the dead, although he was. He's the eternally begotten Son of God. You know, just like Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, he's the Lamb raised from the foundation of the world. And his begetting is an eternal begetting. It's not an event of time. It's who God is. It's seen in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is eternally the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I love saying this. The universe was created and the fall was decreed by God Almighty for the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world to be slain in time. What is our message? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. His works done in time were all done in eternity. Listen to this scripture. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 3. All the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And this is who God is. He's eternal. Everything he does is eternal. This is not some kind of obscure teaching. This is who God is. He saved us. 2 Timothy 1:9. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You see, we're relying on him who is eternal and what he did, which is eternal. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jeremiah 31:3, behold, I have loved you with an everlasting love. We even read of a book, and it's older than this book, that Lamb's Book of Life. There was people who worshiped the beast, and they were identified like this in Revelation 17:8. Though those worshiped him, or those whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Remember when the Lord said to his disciples, "In this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Peter begins this first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2 like that. I love to think of the early church at prayer. The church, these are people who hadn't been believers but for a couple of weeks. They get together and say, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles with the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. This gospel preaching, isn't it? It's talking about him who is eternal. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. He said, I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he. Where's your God, David? Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. This is the preponderance of Scripture, isn't it? Romans 9:11, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, no good works to recommend them, no evil works to disqualify them, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. And what is that purpose? Not of works. Aren't you thankful that way? Not of works, but of him that calleth. The gospel itself is called the eternal gospel. Revelation 14:6. We read in the book of Hebrews, of eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. A salvation that had no beginning. A salvation that will have no end. We read of eternal judgment. All judgment taking place in eternity. We read of eternal redemption. Eternal inheritance. The everlasting or the eternal covenant. The blood of the everlasting covenant. That's what David referred to. Here's one of my favorite scriptures. Although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant. Ordered in all things. Nothing left to chance or happenstance. And sure, and this is all my salvation. And all my desire. And I, though we make it not to grow, and I say with David, yep, it's all my salvation too. It's all my desire. This everlasting, eternal covenant. We read words like foreordained. Ordained beforehand. Foreknowledge. Whom he did foreknow. We read words like predestination. And purpose. This is who God is. And if this is not your God, you're worshiping a man-made God. You're worshiping an idol. You're worshiping the figment of man's depraved imagination. You're worshiping God that can't save. Now, over the years, I've had, I bet this has happened to me 10 or 12 times at least. Somebody says, well, you're preaching eternal justification. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. You heard right then. You see, a justification that is not eternal cannot actually be a justification. Now, what do I mean by that? If you're justified, that means you never sinned. God said, I'll by no means clear the guilty. If God sees you as having sinned, he's not going to clear you. God's holy. God's just. God's right. So in God's perfect view, every believer is eternally justified. And that goes on with 2 Timothy 1:9. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us. All the blessings of salvation were given us. Justification, sanctification, adoption, whatever it might be, all of salvation was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And the only kind of justification there is eternal justification. Now somebody says, I don't understand that. Well, I don't reckon I do either, but I believe it. I believe it all together. Does Paul say anything less when he says, while we look, not at things which are temporary, but things that are eternal? You see, something temporary isn't going to do me any good. The only way I could be saved is if it was already accomplished before time began. Revelation 13:8, I've already quoted it. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that word slain is in the perfect tense. That means perfectly completed, never to be repeated. And somebody's thinking, well, why did he have to come into the world to be slain then? I don't know, but he did. He did. I can't explain this, but I know the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world had to come in time and be slain and put away the sins of his people. And if you and I do not believe the gospel in time, we never were saved in eternity. Acts 13:48, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, God is who He is. He's eternal, and whatever He does is right. Whatever He does is good, because He did it. He's too strong to fail. He's too wise to err, and He's too kind to be cruel. And He doesn't do something because it's right. If He does it, it is right because He does it. That's what makes it right, is He does it. Now, let me close with these statements. I don't want to preach long tonight. I just want you to hear what's being said. Number one, me and you deserve to be in hell. Now, whether you see that or not, it's so. I'm looking at some people that I think are the salt of the earth. Fine people. I admire you. I esteem you highly. There's no doubt about that. And I also know this. Me and you deserve to be in hell. And if we don't see that, there's one reason we don't see it. Because we've never really seen who God is or how evil sin really is. We just haven't seen it. Me and you deserve to be in hell. That's a sobering reality. And if we're saved, it must be Him saving us. I've got to be elected by the Father. I've got to be redeemed by the Son. I've got to be regenerated and given new life by the Holy Spirit. And if any of those things coming to pass is dependent upon me doing something, I have no hope. He must do it all. We live in a world where all things we see are temporary, temporal. They will not last. They will not last. And we're all going to a world that is eternal. It's going to be over just like that. And then we're all going to a world that's eternal. Hell is eternal. There's no way a sinner can ever satisfy the justice of God. That's why hell is eternal. It lasts forever. Heaven is eternal. It lasts forever, perfect conformity to the image of Christ. You know, we're all living right now on the brink of eternity, aren't we? And do you know the way you die is the way you will spend eternity? Let me show you that in Scripture. Turn to Revelation 22. I'd like you to see this. Verse 11. He that is unjust, not in a justified state, let him be unjust still for eternity. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still throughout eternity. You know, the fires of hell are not going to put sin away. They're not going to do it. You're going to remain that way forever. I'll remain that way forever if I go to hell. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now, how we die is how we're going to spend eternity. Now, I want to close by looking at John chapter 6 for a moment. John chapter 6. Verse 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You're looking for things that happen here in time. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, temporal, but for that meat which endureth eternal unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. They then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What shall we do? Once again, temporal. Something that could be seen. What kind of work can we do that'll make us be working the works of God? This is temporal. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. The eternal work of God. This is his work. That you believe on him whom he has sent. He came from eternity, sent by the Father, and you believe on him whom he hath sent. Verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then? Something we can see, something temporal. Give us some proof, give us some evidence. What sign showest thou that we may see and believe? What does thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, as it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Once again, temporal. Verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. That's eternal. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They still didn't have any idea what he's talking about. They wanted something temporal. Give us this bread. This would be great. A lifetime supply of bread. Maybe like getting a check in the mail for $10,000 a week for the rest of your life. You know, you got no problems. You can get by on that, can't you? That's what they were looking for. And Jesus said unto them, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Eternal life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. You're looking for what you can see. You're looking for proof. You're looking for evidence. You've seen me and you don't believe. But here's what took place in eternity that is seen in time. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, for no reason whatsoever, cast out. If I come, I will be received. And you know what that makes me say? Lord, cause me to come to thee. Cause me with irresistible grace to come to thee. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Oh Lord, let me be that man. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now this is his eternal work. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Do you know that if Christ died for me, if I'm somebody who's come to Christ and only by his grace, and I end up being lost, I'd lose a lot. But you know who'd lose more? Him. That means he would have failed in what his Father sent him to do. That ain't going to happen. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He said, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son. Now, that's not a temporal sight of the Son. There are a whole lot of people who saw the Lord in the flesh that had no idea who he was. This is talking about a spiritual sight of the Son. You see the Son. You know what that means? That means you believe He's the Son of God. That means you believe He's God's Christ. That means you believe He's the creator of the universe. That means you believe that if He saves you, you must be saved. You believe Him. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him, relieth on Him. I'm relying on Him. If He doesn't do it all, I'm gone. I'm relying on Him. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. That's eternal, isn't it? Everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Truly we look not at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. The things that are seen, they're temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Lord, give us the grace to look not at things which are seen, but things that are not seen. Knowing that the things that are seen are only temporal, they won't stand in judgment day. They'll be swept away. But the things which are not seen are eternal. We give thanks for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to sing.